Set. Thank you. Our next presenter, unfortunately, or fortunately, is having a baby today, so he wasn't able to attend. So I'm going to attempt to give his presentation, and I hope I don't blow his presentation. I did help him with it, so I'm a little bit familiar with it. I'm Tate Tatton. Been in the coal industry for around 42 years. Most of my career has been with longwalls. I have held about every position there is in mining. I currently am the director of longwall operations for Bowie Resources. With that, I'll get started on our topic is transformation and repurposing of face equipment. And it's due to tough times and capital being cut. Sometimes you can't do what you had slated years ago, so then you have to go to an alternate path. The person that did this presentation is Jacob Smith. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering, Master's of Science in Geotechnical Engineering. He's had 7 years of engineering experience in civil and mining. He's a licensed professional engineer in the state of Utah. He's currently our engineering manager at our Sufco mine. A little bit about Canyon Fuel, our company. It's a subsidiary of Bowie Resource Partners. We operate Sufco, Skyline, Dugout Mine, and we also are doing some prelim work on our fossil rock mine, which we'll go in the future. Bowie Resource Partners is the largest coal producer in the Uinta Basin. Over the past decade, the coal mining industry has faced several challenges, and I don't need to go through every one in detail. Everybody in this room is pretty familiar with that, but we've had to deal with new government regulations, the market competition, aging facilities, and public perception of coal. Challenges facing our industry, which I'm going through this to kind of just brief on why we don't have capital that we would normally go out. We were slated to purchase a whole new face, but we couldn't do it with the downturn. Just some of the new the proposed regulations that were coming straight at us was the mercury and air toxin plan, clean power plan, regional haze plan, the steam protection plan, coal lease moratorium, new respirable dust standards, proximity detection. All of those hit us all hard. It opened the door for more market competition. Risk of increased operating costs due to environmental regulations. Aging coal-fired power generation facilities. The average age is 39 years. Increase in natural gas production from domestic shale basins, which reduced the price of natural gas, which put quite a bit of competition against us. And I'm missing my coal, so basically it's coal versus natural gas going on right now. The market demand, since 2006, total U.S. power generation for coal dropped from 49% to 30%. And the operating mines in that same time period dropped from 862 down to 470 mines. And that's probably less than that as we speak today. So we were in a financial dilemma. We were in a transitioning into a lower seam where we were mining. Decreased market demand, increased operating costs. The ultimate question for us was, how does an operator safely maintain profitability while meeting all his federal regulations? A solution is transforming and repurposing existing equipment. A little bit of background. I apologize, I've lost the picture. It was just a picture of the mine site at Sufco Mine. It's an underground mine. It's located in central Utah. It started operation in 1941 and has operated continuously since then. Customers, we deliver to utilities and Western industrials. Mining method, we have one longwall and three continuous miner units. Our annual production is 6 to 6.5 million tons. Reserves in the Hiawatha Seam, we've mined over 190 million today, and we have about 20 million tons remaining in the upper Hiawatha Seam. Lower Hiawatha Seam, we have a total of 56 million, and we project to be going down into the lower Hiawatha in 3 or 4 years. The upper our dilemma challenge we had is the upper Hiawatha Seam, historic reserves were 9 to 17 feet thick. The remaining reserves that we've got to pick up is 7 to 11 feet. Our current longwall equipment was the 2-meter caterpillars, shields, and AFCs, crushers, BSLs. The width we're running is 11-10, and with 168 caterpillar shields. So you can see what our dilemma is. Our operating height of the shields we had was 8.5 to 14.5, and we had to come up with a solution to go 7 to 11 foot of seam thickness. First challenge is, how do we do this? How do we manage the quality and out of seam dilution? So we looked at one of our other mines, Dugout Canyon Mine. We were operating a set of shields that actually will fit in the envelope we needed to. They're currently just CM mining presently. So we opted to take a look at those shields. Those shields were operated in a very highly, not a friendly environment. And we did have to do quite a bit of work on them. And at the time, we had 30,000 cycles on them. We didn't have a pan line to go with it because we'd already used it at one of our other operations. But it put a smile on our face because we had something we could start with. So, like I say, our current longwall equipment face width was 1110. Operating 8.5 to 14, pan width was 1342, web depth was 42 inches. So our available equipment to match up the shields we had from Dugout is 900 feet wide. We're operating height of 7 to 11 feet with a pan width of 1042, web depth of 36 inches. So the difference in face width is probably a decrease of 18%. Operating height is a decrease of 21%. Pan width was a decrease 22%. And web depth is a 14% decrease from what we were currently operating. Second challenge then become, all right, we've lost this capacity. We still have to maintain our current production rates. We can't just simply go along with a project that would decrease our production rates. So you can see with that picture, sometimes it gets overwhelming. You got to still put out the same amount of product with a lot less to work with. So we had to define the challenge. Our main challenge was maintaining coal quality and maintaining our current production levels. So we had to identify the solutions, and we identified that by using the 1.75 meter shields from our Dugout mine and go into a rebuild with them, purchase AFC, BSL, and crusher, and increase the pan width to 1142. So obviously you got to make a plan. We did some shield evaluations. We did the rebuild scope, bid, award, complete work, and compatibility and install. So we're feeling like we got a little way. We got, maybe we'll see the light at the end of the tunnel now. Shield evaluation, identify potential vendors. We went out to three large sources, Joycat, Morgantown. What we did is each vendor was provided two shields. So we give two of the shields to each one of the vendors, give them the opportunity to strip them down and fully visualize what they would have to do on a rebuild. And I'll tell you, that really helped out because it helps narrow that scope. We're on a rebuild, we're on a budget, we couldn't exceed the budget. And I know everybody in here has gone through shield rebuilds, and you can get into a lot of extra costs if the pre-work's not done and dialed in. So it was really good. We each had them all. This is just a diagram of each one of the vendors went through every bore, give us measurements on the two shields they did, and also on the pins. And so when we went into rebuild, we knew exactly which bores we'd have to put in the main scope and which pins we were going to replace. One of the big issues we had with the shield we were working with at dugout is that's the rear bridge. And I think everybody experienced this rear bridge problem from, these are an older shield. So we had to replace the rear bridge. We replaced the rear bridge on all the shields. Additional items, landscape modifications. We had some routing when we had it a dugout. We routed hosing through the landscape links, and that caused us some grief. We couldn't get the hoses out, and it just put that, it gave us a place for that wet material to hold the H2S we were fighting down in those links. We knew we had to do something with the base lift repair. When the base lift, it would work on that bolt, the base lift bolts up to that front bridge, and it would pretty soon break those bolts. So we were going to add stops above and below it to try and hold that so it didn't work on the bolts. The key process and win-win solution provided SUFCO with an accurate and reliable information. That's by giving the vendors the opportunity to strip down and identify exactly what needed to be done to the shield. So it gave them the opportunity to evaluate so their bids were correct, and it also gave us all the information so we went out for the spec. We didn't exceed our budget and no change orders. This is just the standard scope we went in with. Some of the things we identified, we went to 1142 pan, so we had to add a tip extension onto the shield. We added an 8-inch tip extension on all the shields. We replaced the rear bridge, plugged the access holes in the links. I'll talk about the base lift because we didn't do the blocks. We went with a different style. And we put the Loctite leg pocket foam protectant in the pockets. We also took the opportunity to put some more sprays and locate them correctly for dust control. Installed anti-skid surface plate on the toes, and we also installed a fully integrated multicolor lighting package. Then we went out, of course, the bids, and with the bid was awarded. This is one of the shields that just come back from transport back to us. That's the tip extension. It's an 8-inch tip extension, but it goes back about 24 inches on the side to make sure it had the strength to hold up with the extension. Of course, we had to put a new relay bar in it to increase, we increased the web depth to a meter web. We put on these tow plates. They're easy. They slip in, and they just are just have a key to hold them in position. So as they, if they wear out, it's a quick change. And we also we decided to go with the new gimbal style base lift. That base lift is real similar to the base lift we were running on our CAT equipment. One of the things we identified when we was operated at dugout mine with these shields, we could mine down low, but we couldn't get in to work on the shield when we was in our lowest position. We were trying to mine around 68 inches. And so we come up with this unique valve block that we could skirt around the legs, and also it has two different angles on it, and that allows us when we're mining down at around a 68 inch that we can get inside and work on that shield now. The initial scope, we had to go out for a new conveyor. We didn't have an option. We didn't have a conveyor to use. We originally went out and bid the conveyor, BSL, crusher, the whole nine yards. Through the process, we decided that we were approaching too much on what we had budgeted. So we opted to use our current stage loader, our current power units, and matched up with the conveyor we ultimately put together. So we ended up we reused our CAT 65 series headgate tailgate CST power units. We operate with three 1650 horsepower motors. We're reusing our crusher and our BSL. So that was a challenge to make all that up to a different vendor's pan line and drive units. This is just a shot of the conveyor system. Compatibility went really well. The two different vendors, the vendor provided the pan line, and also us using some of our CAT, existing CAT gear. I was a little bit worried going into compatibility, but it was actually one of the smoothest compatibilities I'd been on. That's just a shot of the tail drive with the big 65 series CSTs. This is just some shots of, that's the rebuilt shields with the current pan line. Wow, I lost all my pictures. Anyway, this was a picture. It's all installed underground now. And we plan on starting that wall up on the 19th of this month. So it's coming real close. We're just coming off recovery and then going right into it. The challenge, how to economically maintain coal quality and current production levels, lower seam conditions. The solution was using the current shields we had, purchasing the pan line drives, and with using our existing power units and our existing stage loaders. And we also entered into an LCM agreement for the joy shears. So it took a lot of teamwork. We feel it's a great example. We had a tight budget, and we made it right on budget. And we didn't exceed the budget at all. I just want to give a big thank you to Joy Global. They were a big player in it. Also Swanson's, and I don't know why Cat's picture didn't show up there. But they, it was a good team. Any questions?
Any questions? Tate, who made those toe plates for you?
Originally, we had Cat design them. It's the same kind of toe plate we run on our newer Cat gear, and it's worked extremely well.
Anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, our next presenter, there he comes, yeah. Bill Powell.